Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, friends. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Happy Hour. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Jamie. I'm your host, and we have a fun show today and a very different show than we're used to creating. And let me just tell you, it was so much fun for me to have this interview and this conversation that I'm thinking we need to do this every month. And I want to hear from you. So send us an email, jamie@jamieivey.com. Find me on Instagram. Leave a comment on this post. I really would love to hear from you what you loved about it, or if you want us to do this again. In fact, I'll get to the end and you'll hear that Jackie, who's my guest today, suggested another thing that her and I should chat about. So we'll see if it happens that way. I have a couple things I want to tell you. Number one is at the very end of this episode, I have a song that I want you to hear. And I don't normally do that. In fact, I've done it a handful of times, but it's because my husband, he's a songwriter and he leads worship at our church, the Austin Stone, here in Austin, Texas. Well, Austin Stone Worship has a brand new song that just released today. It's called Hope is Awake. And it's a song for Easter. I think you're going to love it. We're going to play it, the whole thing, at the end of this episode. But I would really encourage you, wherever you get music, if you listen on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever you choose to listen to music on, whatever platform, go find that song, download it. I promise you that you're going to be encouraged by the song. It's called Hope is Awake by Austin Stone Worship. Okay, so let's get to the episode today. So my friend Jackie Hill Perry is joining me today. And Jackie, this will be her fourth time she's been on the show. She was on the very first time, episode 190. And then she came on again last summer for episode 410. And then she came on again for 428. And then today is episode 478. So I just can't get enough of Jackie, I guess. But here is how this episode came about. Is I was thinking, you know, we have such great episodes on the Happy Hour. I am just over the moon proud of this audience and the show that we're creating. And I'm telling Jackie all of this in the show as well. So I set it up for her. But I just want to tell you, I started to think, man, I just want to have a conversation with a girlfriend that I might have literally over lunch or dinner, which is how the Happy Hour started, to be honest. I was like, man, what would me and my friends chat about? And I have been watching the show Cheer. All right. It's a Netflix docuseries. It aired the beginning of 2020, I believe. And then season two just came out in 2022. So I'm a little behind because I just binged both seasons. And I found out that my friend Jackie had also watched it. So as I've been watching it, I would text her my thoughts and opinions. And then I had this idea, what if we did a special show once a month called Tell Me About It? And I just bring a friend on and say, hey, what do you want to talk about? And so I said, Jackie, you want to join me? Let's try it. Let's do this for the first time. Let's talk about Cheer. So this is an episode all about the docuseries Cheer. It's called Tell Me About It. And I want to say this, if you haven't seen it, like, we're going to give a lot of things away. Everything we talk about is online. You could find it. But I think you're going to enjoy this show even if you have not seen anything about the show Cheer, because obviously we talk about things that happen in this show. But, you know, Jackie and I can't just talk about the show. We also talk about what it means to be followers of people on the internet. And do we see the real person? What do we expect from them? We talk about heroes, anyone that's a hero to us. And when we put them on a pedestal, they're going to fail us. We talk about cancel culture. We talk about cheering for the underdog. I mean, we had a really, really great conversation. And I felt like, man, I got to spend an hour with one of my friends just having like a conversation about something funny, but also deep. And we're inviting you into that conversation. So here is a conversation with my friend Jackie Hill Perry about Cheer. Jackie, welcome to Tell Me About It.
Hi, glad to be here.
I explained a little bit in the promo of this show, but I want to just talk to the listener real quick. I was telling Jackie this morning that when I first started the Happy Hour almost 8 years ago, it was very conversational, as in me and Jackie who are friends in real life who would go to have dinner someplace, what would we talk about? That's how the happy hour started. And so I was like, you know what? I need a little taste of that. So this is as if I flew into Atlanta. Where'd you take me to dinner last time, Jackie?
That is closed.
What? Did it not make it through COVID?
I don't think they did. They closed a month ago.
Dang it. Okay, where would you take me if I come back right now?
Maybe Cooks and Soldiers, which is a tapas kind of Spanish vibe.
Love it.
Place.
Love it.
Expensive, but good.
All right, so Jackie and I roll up to Cooks and Soldiers. We're eating some tapas. Mm-hmm. We sit down and we're going to unload what's going on in our lives. And the first thing I would say to Jackie is, we have to talk about cheer. Because Jackie knows I've been texting her about cheer. And you know what? You reminded me, this is not the first TV show we've done this about.
We did Big Brother a little bit.
We did Big Brother. Yeah. You and I would text you about it because I used to watch Big Brother years ago. You told me I need to get back. And I did, and I was in it. The whole family. We were in it.
No, y'all were. You was behind a lot, but you were
We were behind. Yeah. Yes.
You was in it as much as you could be.
Do you watch things live? Are you, like, up to date on everything?
Yeah. One, I'm at home most of the time. And then I don't want to have to... So, for example, like, I follow Julie Chen on Instagram and on Twitter. And I would have to like not check Twitter or Instagram because she would tell me what happened. And so it's like, let me just be live so I can see all the things while they happen.
So I'm always behind. Clearly, Cheer was released in January of 2020 and it is February of 2022 and I just watched it, but I binged it. So I want to say a few things because we're recording this and this is not just you and I having dinner at Cooks and Soldiers. Yeah. I want to say that these are real life people that we are about to talk about. And would you ever do a reality show, Jackie?
Absolutely not.
For reasons what?
I don't think that people deserve having access to my entire life. I am also not the nicest person all the time. And I feel like that will become my storyline, is the mean preacher.
See, that's the thing. That's what I was going to bring up about this. Like, okay, let's say we want to have a conversation about, everyone wants to talk about Monica, who was the coach there. And I also say, if you guys haven't seen this, you're going to enjoy our conversation, but you should go watch it, in my opinion. But Monica's a real person, and they only showed us what they wanted us to see.
Yeah. But I mean, I do think it was interesting to see how different she was season one and season two.
Okay, let's start here.
Okay.
Which, side note, I don't think you know, I didn't tell you this. Our family did 3 interviews with a network about a reality show.
Mm-hmm. And you said no.
It never really went anywhere, but we were pretty upfront about Jesus and all the things. But Aaron and I were also like, it can't be about the kids. It can only be about us.
Oh, well, that's kind of the thing. It's because y'all got some black kids. And
everybody wants to see some white people raising some black kids. It's true.
No, for real.
And then we said, it's not about it. We're not doing that. They're too young.
Oh, yeah. No, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's because it would you become a character rather than a human. And that's the scary part.
Yeah. It's almost like when we did Emmanuel Acho show, I told Emmanuel, if you mess with my kids, I'm gonna be a real mad mama. Yeah. And he was so kind. All right, Monica. Different from season one to season two. I binged the show. So I watched entire season one and season two in about 10 days. Because you can when it's all out.
Lucky
me. I didn't have to wait. I talk about on Instagram, people love Monica or they hate Monica. No one likes Monica.
Why do they hate her?
A lot of people hated her because of the way... I had some people talk that they did not appreciate her relationship with Ladarius. They thought it was codependent and she wasn't...
Interesting. Well, honestly, Monica gives me major 3 vibes. Which is like just really kind of unemotional, guarded, hard. And so even... at times when it came to Ladarius, it was hard for me to know if the emotions were actually real, you know, like,
or because that's an Enneagram 3 thing
and shame. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And like vulnerability is not a thing, especially with somebody like Ladarius, bless his heart, but he's a bit toxic. Yeah. And so I just was like, I don't know what's real here.
Right, right.
Because the camera is in your face inside of a hotel room while you're weeping in his shoulder. It just was like.
And if she does fall into like an Enneagram 3 kind of place, that Enneagram 3 is going to be fully aware that everyone's watching.
Oh, absolutely.
That's their life.
And they know they know they have to perform.
They're performers.
Especially since a small part of her storyline was just all the backlash from season one.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, I can't post nothing without people coming in my head. Yep. So she's aware.
Yeah. You know, I texted you something that Ladarius said. I'm going to pull it up so I can.
Did you?
Yeah. Ladarius was talking about. I mean, this is the thing, is a lot of these kids, well, everyone that they focused on, they're coming from some hardships, from like mm-hmm. difficult situations, which I like was thinking Monica's doing a phenomenal job of giving these kids a second chance, which I did not know that the director also directed Last Chance U, the football series.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Doesn't it make sense? Because
that makes a lot of sense.
Aaron's watching it now because I roped him and Story into this drama. And he said, this feels a lot like Last Chance U.
It is. Yep. Yeah, the focus on the, because they, if it's like a reality sitcom.
Right.
It has an arc, you know, it has a mm-hmm. climax, it has the drama, yep. it has the tension. Yep.
But I appreciated the way that Monica was able to bring these kids in and literally give them a second chance.
Mm-hmm. And a good one.
Right.
Because, like, the lady's good at what she does.
That's so true.
Like, in a real way. But what's the
take? Well, before I get out to this, I was thinking last night when I was thinking about talking to you about this, I was like, you know, the people that are hating on Monica for stuff, I think that a guy coach of a football team would not get the same hate.
Why not?
Because I'd be like, look how.
I believe you.
He's awesome. He's hard on the kids and he doesn't show emotion, but look at the results he's doing. But people look mm-hmm. at Monica and they're like, okay, she has results, but let's really talk about how she's interacting with these kids. I don't think they do that to a man.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
All right. So Ladarius said this. He said, when you're trying to be a new person, but the old person is just right there, it's hard.
Hmm. I mean, that'll preach.
Right?
Yeah, because I mean, the first season, I really felt for him because I know people like him who, you know, they had a life where they were abandoned and rejected and just not cared for and loved. And so they walk around with this defense all the time. And so they are hypervigilant, just waiting for somebody to attack them. And so even if you're not attacking them, the smallest challenge, they got to come back, you know, on 10, like a little tiger or a lion or a bear, you know? And so I think I empathize with the reality that he's had a rough life and he needs therapy.
I wonder if he's getting therapy.
He might be.
We don't know. Cause you know, they're not.
And he's young. He's young
he's
too.
A baby. They're all babies. I mean, they literally, you look at them and you're like, you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
This is baby.
He got some more life to live, and you know.
All right, season one to season two. So I watched season one, and I was like, "I love this! This is so exciting!" This show's full of spoiler alerts. They won. Go, Monica! Go, Bulldogs! Mm-hmm. This is great.
Uh-huh.
And my friend Lindsay, who works at Ivy Media, was like, "Just wait, because you are not going to feel these feelings in season two." And she wasn't lying. It's like a different.
No, it's darker.
And I don't know if they had to go that way or if it went that way, but it literally mm-hmm. is a darker feeling to the show.
I will say, though, I think what got me attached to the show initially with season one, which was low-key 3 years ago, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years ago. But I'm really intrigued by people that have a skill that I don't have and they do it well. I'm just intrigued by that whole mm-hmm, dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so when I was watching them doing these flips and these pyramids and standing up on the hands and doing like little squats, I said, OMG. I just never considered cheerleaders as athletes.
Me neither.
Never. Because mm-hmm. the cheerleaders at my high school, they clap and they might do a little, what do you call that?
A little
the
cartwheel.
That's all they're going to do. They're not doing all of that. And so I was just straight up impressed.
Yeah.
By the straight athleticism of these
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I agree too, watching it. And then you go down rabbit trails and you get on their Instagrams and you see them training. And it is legit they are athletes that can do things with their bodies that nobody else can. All right, let's talk about fame for a minute. You know, you mentioned even when I said, hey, would you do this? Like, people don't have this ability to be in my life. But what we saw happen from season one to season two is season one really put these people up in this like fame category that they're just in Corsicana, Texas, which I live in Texas. Corsicana is nothing. All right. So they're,
how far is it from Austin?
It's outside of Dallas, I think. Or is it East Texas? Well, if it's close to Athens, their little competitor, then I think it's East Texas.
Got someone it. Will, yeah, never heard of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a little bitty place. And they all of a sudden were elevated to this level of fame. How, like, you know, we'd say from Christians would be like, we're never meant for all this fame. And we saw it actually be destructive on some of their lives. But we have also seen careers born out of this.
Yes.
So what did you think about going from season one to season two when they show back up? And listen, they focus on like five people and there's like 35, 45 people on this team.
It is.
How would you feel if you were one of the other people and everyone else is on Ellen?
I thought about that.
They're on Jimmy.
No, I thought about that.
Yeah.
I was like, Mana got her like, it's like Jesus in them three.
Yep.
Like she, like you going to come up with me to the Mount of Transfiguration. The rest of y'all going to have to sit back. And I was just like, I think I just wondered and still wonder if that created any bad vibes within the team, you know, because you have kids who are still maturing and now have this celebrity and they key keying up with the head coach who got this book deal and they on Ellen and, you know, Jerry getting the Yale for people and all these things. And then you got these other 25 that we don't even know their names.
We don't know their names. We barely even seen
at
them.
All. We just know that you made mad.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, so, this is a conversation, and I don't know how much you keep up with college football, Jackie, but...
zero.
Okay, zero. So we won't go here, but I just want to say this is kind of like when they have been talking about college athletes being able to get endorsements, is then you're saying, oh, well, what might happen is you've got an entire team of athletes, and you've got two stars who are making, you know, $500,000 a year as a sophomore in college. How does there going to be some kind of... tension on the team because you've got this star who could make potentially $1 million in a year and he's a sophomore in college and living in the dorm next to you. I mean, so there's, that's been a conversation in college football.
No, it is, because we're human beings. And so like if somebody's on my team and I'm over here scraping up pennies and eating ramen noodles every night, but he out here at Cooks and Soldiers just like killing it, like I'm going to feel away. Period. Yeah. So
ugh, that's hard. All right.
It is hard.
Okay, so let's talk about Jerry. That was rough.
It was, because look, on season one, Jerry was my favorite.
Everyone's favorite. I don't think you're alone there.
Like the little yell and the little, like his just, he was just infectious, you know? And so when I saw the article about what happened with the child pornography and things like that after the season ended, I was like, wait, like, I don't know. And I'd be thinking I could read people. And I was like, I just didn't see that. I didn't see that coming. And so the way they kind of talked about it on season two, it was just like, oh, this is way deeper than I even knew, you know? So
he was, you know, a favorite of mine as well. I really like Morgan a lot. And, you know, she's one who lived with her grandparents up in the north.
She's consistent.
She's consistent. And I think she now has like 800 million followers on Instagram. She has really risen to fame. I don't know what she's doing with it. But so Jerry, he was a favorite. And then since I binged all these in 10 days, I got to kind of go in real time. And when they did that announcement at the beginning of season two, I mean, I'm like, what? And it was hard because I believe in some of the episodes of season two, he's still around because they're filming before it happens. Am I right? Or am I?
Yeah. Because season two is filmed, I think, over 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
Since they did the competition, COVID hit, and then they practiced, did the competition again.
So I have a question for you, and I would love to hear your opinion about the fact that they did an entire episode on Jerry and what happened and what had happened, just to give everyone a little context if you haven't seen it and you don't care to go watch it. They found lots and lots and lots of child pornography on Jerry's computer. And what kind of spearheaded it was two boys, underage minors, came forward and said that Jerry had solicited nude photos from them.
And sex.
You're right. And that was done in person. That wasn't solicited over phone. Yes. And so I have heard very differing opinions on that episode as to those two boys who were minors coming up and talking about it. So I'd love to hear your opinion. And if you want to tell me that, if you want to hear the two things I've heard first, I'll do that.
Yes,
okay. So the two things I've heard was those boys are heroes. I'm so proud of them. Look at them coming forward and talking about this. And I've also heard who in their right mind let two, they're underage, let's say 15, 16, I'm not sure. Who in their right mind put two 15-year-old boys on a Netflix special and made them tell their story about being sexually assaulted? I don't know what the right word is here. By this famous person.
Yeah.
So I've heard these two differing, like, look, they're heroes. And why in the world did their mom say, yes, you can put their face on TV and talk about this? I mean, I had someone send me an Instagram message that was like, I think those boys go to my kid's school. And then like 2 days later, she's like, yep, they do. I found them.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't even think about that. I think that is, I think I see both sides.
Right.
You know, like, for them to be able to discuss it and talk about it and, you know, tell their mother all the things, like, does take a lot of courage. But I do think that it's unhealthy potentially to, one, if they're talking about this without some like straight up community and like therapy, because even like discussing these types of things is traumatic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm somebody who wrote a whole book about my mess and it re-traumatized me by talking about it. And so that's that. But I guess the mother probably felt like, hey, they need to be representatives of the fact that this is happening and that this is happening in spaces that we presume were safe. And this is happening from people, you know, who have these grand, great personalities, but are low-key abusers. So,
you know, I'd be interesting. I wish I would have done a lot of research on this. You know, we had the whole Jerry Nassar thing with the gymnast thing. I'd be interested to know if any of the women who have gone public went public as a minor.
I don't remember any of them doing it.
That's what's important. That's the conversation that I would want to have, because I think about if that was my child and they're under 18, I'm the one that has to make that choice for them. They don't. They're under 18. And so it's just hard, too, because then those boys become a poster child for something. I mean, it's the same thing you just said. Like, the reason I don't talk about adoption a lot, and again, I'm not comparing either thing, obviously, is because I don't want to be a poster child for a white mom raising black kids. Like, I just want to be Jamie. Like, I don't want to have that role. And I feel like they got that role given to them.
Oh, yeah. Especially the platform. I think it'd be different if they were like, even on CBN, something like that. Y'all on Netflix.
Right.
Millions. Yeah. And millions of viewers until they take it down, which will probably be never.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that that definitely will be a consequence that will follow them for a while. But hopefully they make they do something with it.
For sure.
You know.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel good live DJ rides, or artist themed rides, they've got something for you. You guys, I've done the beginner rides a lot. and I'm not ashamed of that. And I've loved every single one. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. In fact, I found a few of my favorites and I keep going back to the same instructors. They show you the basics. They'll help take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build from there. Peloton entertainment keeps you moving. You can watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You know, watching things like this, and we brought up the gymnastics thing, it always is like, because I'm an Enneagram 6, so we brought up the Enneagram earlier. I'm an Enneagram 6. So I even had a conversation with Aaron last night about something completely different. And I said to him, and he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, we were in a room full of people. And I said, I'm always waiting for one of these people to come out as doing something bad. Mm. And he's like, but Jamie, these are really great people in here. I'm like, okay. Like I literally am always afraid that somebody that I love and trust, they're going to find on their computer. You too?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Especially if I'm in a room of pastors. Oh. I'm like, one of y'all lying. One of y'all. No, that's not funny, but it's just like.
Is this a good way for us to live or a bad way for us to live? It makes me feel safer. Mean,
does it have to be either or? Because I think it's good in that we're not overly optimistic or idealistic about people's sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm in a room with these people that have books and have churches and all this type of stuff, I'm not looking at them like they're Jesus. Right. Right? I think it's only bad because it means that I'm not hoping the best mm-hmm. in my neighbor. But it's just, you know, you just see too much mess coming out of our heroes.
Yep.
And so to me, it's just like, it's 10 of us in the room, two of y'all cheating. Mm-hmm. I don't trust
you. I do the same thing. So I want to flip the script. You and I are both people who do things publicly.
Right.
Like, do you want people to trust you?
I do.
But not make but it, we're not Jesus.
Yeah, like there's a, well, one, I think it's weird because trusting me, there should be a level of trust and hope that what I'm saying is what I do, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But then there's also the reality that even your expectations of me may not be accurate, right? And so like I mentioned earlier that I can be a bit mean. You might be like, oh, I follow her on Instagram and she's so funny and she just interacts with her. And it's just like, yeah, I am funny. But I also have a very bad attitude problem at times, right? And so, like, if you were around me, you would observe both. Mm-hmm. So what image of me are you actually yeah. trusting?
I think that's this is, like, a lesson for all of us who follow people, not just people who follow Jackie and Jamie, but who follow people. I always say if you're like I'm going to use this really weird word, like a quote-unquote fan, and you get to know mm-hmm. me, I'm going to let you down. Like,
oh yeah,
your expectations need to be brought really low down.
You haven't let me down though, Jamie. Aww.
Thanks, Jackie.
you're mad consistent. Like,
oh,
you're not out here.
But what I'm saying is, like, there is what you see is this one yes. thing. Like last night, for example, another example, a woman said to Aaron, like, man, you're really showing us up. Like, I'm always like, look what Aaron's so nice to Jamie. The husband was saying, you're really making us mm-hmm. all look bad out here. And I was like, okay, that's cool because I think Aaron Ivey's a great husband. But what you don't see on Instagram is when I'm like fiery hot mad at Aaron because he treated me bad or dropped the ball on something or mm-hmm. showed up at 7 when he said he's going to be home at 5. Mm-hmm. So that's my point, is that all of these people who are famous, and we're not just talking about child molesting, they are going to let us down.
Yes.
And I think it is has to be a viewer switch of our heart to know if I'm putting these people on a pedestal, that's a wrong thing.
My question to that would be, even with the expectation that our heroes will fail us, right? I think there are degrees to the failure. And so with somebody like Jerry, that failure is way more grievous than, you know, Aaron not cutting the onions a certain way. And so I guess how as viewers of these shows or as followers of these pastors or these authors or these podcasters, what is the role of holding people accountable? Right. Is it our role at all? Do we unfollow? Do we stop purchasing? Do we leave mean things in the DMs and hope that that will regenerate them? What do we do?
I have an opinion on this. Okay. And I say, I don't want to be prideful here, so you can call me out, Jackie.
Okay.
If I have a particular situation a couple months ago where someone was continuously sending me DMs, I'm so disappointed in you. I can't believe you did that. Da, 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 da. And I, because I think, like I said, if you're just a follower of me and we've never met, I am going to disappoint you. Like, you know, like I'm a human and you may not like everything I do or agree with everything I do. I hope I'm like consistent with the word of God and following Jesus and all those things. And I sent back a message and was like, hey, I just don't know why you follow me. And I think that you would be happier if you didn't. And so for me, I think as people who are following people, we do have a responsibility to like guard our hearts. Like, is she, am I consistently mad when I follow Jackie? You know what? I got to unfollow her. That's my thoughts. Yeah. Yours?
Yeah. I think a lot of this conversation is kind of very hinged on the cancel culture thing, right? Because I think with cancel culture, some of it is obnoxious, but I think some of it is good. When you have somebody like a Harvey Weinstein or a Bill Cosby, where it's like canceling you is really withdrawing my public support of anything that you do as a consequence for your bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to determine what is worth.
That's good. Yeah.
That level of, I guess, withdrawal, but also understanding that you don't know these people and you don't know everything. And so somebody coming at your head and mine for participating in a particular thing, it's like, go talk to a friend right. and get all that energy out with them. Because
what you're saying is canceling Bill Cosby is a valid thing because Bill Cosby,
he should be
canceled. Yeah. You and I being associated with an event that, and we're not associated with like a pornography event. It is like a people love Jesus event. Those are not on equal grounds.
And the dynamics and or the things that, about it that you're angry at or whatever are so minor and they hinge on your own convictions.
Right.
And so you're legitimately like mad at me for a conviction that you have that the Holy Spirit hasn't given me because it ain't even in the Bible.
It's not a conviction about whether we should abuse children or not.
Yes.
Right. It's
I went to a certain event during COVID.
Yes. Yeah.
And you don't like that. Even though I was virtual. But, you
know. I can't believe you took heat for being virtual. Look at you. Man, oh, they're coming for everybody then.
My DMs was popping. Like, how dare you?
And you were popping. You had a baby that day.
I was in labor, my guy.
Give me a break, guys.
I'm trying to get this epidural to wean off. Y'all going crazy.
The one thing I did, like, and this is like, I want to be careful here how I say this because I'm not happy at all about what happened with Jerry and all the people that he offended greatly, is there is this idea of bringing light to what is happening in certain things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's happening and it's valid. We saw it in gymnastics. We see it here. We see it in an NFL coach recently who talked about the racism he's experienced in teams. Like these things should be brought to the light and should be talked about. It really stinks when it is at the expense of other things, you know, like.
Yeah. Do you know something they brought up that I didn't realize is that they talked about the how someone can be a cheerleader who's like a grown man.
What do you mean? Like they're not in junior college?
Yeah, like they showed there was this like scene in these clips where they got like 30-year-old guys who are part of these cheerleading teams.
Part of Navarro?
It was just a
team. Yeah.
It was a bunch of B-roll with the stuff. And it was when the lawyers were talking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, that is a problem. Yeah. That you have these young girls. Oh, you're right, because
they said this girl was 14, and he's like, I'm 28.
Yeah, that is a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this whole segment, this whole episode is bringing to light that, no, this needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And parents have to be aware. Because, I mean, I think for me, stuff like that, as hard as it would be on some, if this is the kind of dynamic that you have with a certain cheerleading squad, my children can't partake.
Yeah. Yeah,
they can't because I don't know if they will be safe.
You know, it brings up, you've got young kids, mine are all older, but it brings up the conversation as parents is like these conversation, you have to have conversations with your kids about things. And I'm going to say this without being, I'm going to say this, try to without being crude. There was an interview on here, I believe, with the gymnast. Oh, it was the lawyer. Mm-hmm. She was a gymnast who was sexually assaulted by Nasser. Yeah.
Den Hollander or something like that.
Yeah. And so this woman was saying what that trainer did to her. And when I heard it, I thought, this is the most terrible thing I've ever heard. As a teen girl, she believed this was part of her training.
Yep.
And as a mom, that made me think, man, I've got to have like hard, gruesome, like kind of crude conversations with my kids about what is okay and what is not okay.
Yeah. And that's because you got to define the terms.
That is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Because abusers take such advantage of ignorance. And I hate that about them. I don't hate them, but I hate that. Because it's so, it's demonic, really, you know?
That's really mature of you, what you just said.
What?
I don't hate them.
I don't.
What's good for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, because I've been abused.
Yeah.
And but I think so. This is gonna go left. I watch a lot of serial killer documentaries and things about like sociopaths and narcissists and people with PPD, paranoid personality disorder, blah 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 blah. And so I think I have an empathy for people with certain deviances. Doesn't mean that I'm like, I'm not mad and don't think justice should be enacted, but I think I understand how nature and nurture, on top of the fact that we've come from Adam, just leads us to do some dark things.
It's very mature of you, Jackie. Okay, let's do the other team. What do you think about, what was his name?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about?
And
do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the coach.
No.
Oh, here we go. The little boy.
Yeah, the little boy. What's his name?
Who didn't want to?
He didn't want to show any emotion. Smile. He didn't show any smile. Poor thing.
I enjoyed that about this season, that they kind of really got into the wrestle it can be for straight men to be a part of a cheer team. Because I mean, coming from where I come from, the assumption is if you are a man and you're a cheerleader, you're most likely gay. But to hear from the coach about how he's an athlete, this was the best way he can get a scholarship. And he's like, well, what y'all think? This is what I'm going to do. And then him trying to coach these boys into knowing that just because you smiled and clapped, it doesn't make you less of a man. And that was just good. Really intriguing.
That was good. Yeah. That was an interesting conversation about that you just brought up. And it felt like, again, we only see five people on each team, you know, so we don't see the whole team. But it did seem like there were kind of different people at both of the schools. And what I mean by that is almost every guy that we saw at Navarro was gay.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that feel from Trinity Valley.
No.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. I'm like,
yeah.
Is it a recruiting thing? I think it could be.
And it also might be the coach. That they feel drawn to him and, you know, appreciate him and have affection for him. And the style, because he said that their style isn't as dramatic as Navarro. And so I guess it's just been more like, oh, we flip and we stand and we clap versus, like Navarro, like they was doing a lot.
Someone told me this. That in their division, these are the only two teams competing against each other.
What do you mean? There's no other competition?
This is what I've heard. That in the division that they compete in, the like co-ed advanced junior college division, these two teams are competing against each other.
Okay. Well, so they always will be number one or number two,
right?
Basically.
So there's this article, and it said cheer viewers have their minds blown after season two, after a crucial detail is left out. Navarro and Trinity Valley aren't just competitors, but each other's only competitors. They are the only two teams competing in the advanced large co-ed junior college division. Someone tweeted, finding out that Navarro and TVCC have been each other's sole competitors for years has me shocked to my core. They're the only two teams. And so you look at all the championships that Monica has.
Yeah, you only have one enemy.
Which is why I think, if this is true, and I've just read this article, that Greg, the director at Netflix, was very, very smart to bring in Trinity Valley, even if they didn't tell us this, because mm-hmm. I think it's like, oh, we need to see. So this is the only school they ever compete against. And it also mm-hmm. makes it me happier for Trinity Valley that they actually won. I was happy for them. I'm not going to lie.
I had mixed feelings because I'm not a person that cheers for the underdog. I want the people that
you don't
have
cheer
won
for the underdog.
I never do.
I always do. If I don't have a stake in the game, like if it's University of Texas, I'm always cheering for them. If I'm watching the Super Bowl, tell me who's not supposed to win. Tell me who has the saddest story on the team. Tell me which player just lost his mom to cancer yesterday. That's my team.
When I say I can't say it after you just said that. So I don't. No, because for me, it's again, I am really intrigued by and thrive from seeing people that kill something. And so it's like, if you're the one that's killing it, I want to see what you do to make sure that you kill mm-hmm. it again. I don't care about the people that keep losing. They keep losing for a reason. So that's, it kind of made me feel like, oh man, what happened? But I think when your coach isn't there.
Yep, that was a big talk about season two. Yep.
To what? Two semesters. Mm-hmm. Not two semesters. It was two semesters. No, two quarters.
It was a long time. I mean, she left to go do
because
Dancing with the
dancing.
Stars. Yeah.
You're not going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're just not.
And I think her team, what they portrayed there, really felt kind of let down. Like, that's what we talk about fame. Like, it took her away from what mm-hmm. she was supposed to. It's hard. Like, we're here, like, you know.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, Dancing with the Stars, low-key, probably gave this woman a check that
she couldn't. How do you say no to that? Yeah.
Time. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, in her mind, she probably, I got to provide for my family too.
And you know what? What we might not have seen, here I am trying to see the best, is that she might have sat down with her team and said, I'm only going if you guys tell me to go. And they're like, mm-hmm. yes, Monica, we love you. Go win Dancing with the Stars. But mm-hmm. we didn't see that. But then when she's gone for 2 months, now all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I am mad about this. You know, I'm just, mm-hmm. I just always remind myself, we don't see every minute of what happens in these people's lives.
No, we don't.
And so.
And we can't.
We can't.
And they're going to leave. They got to leave stuff out for, you know.
Time's sake.
Drama.
And drama. And yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm gonna tell you something that made me laugh.
Tell me.
That I text my friend John about. So there's this scene where the one girl who was like not a tumbler, one of the girls that gets stood up on the hands.
A flyer.
Yes, she got removed from Matt. And she went and started crying.
She was mad. She was having a moment.
But Monica's face was so blank. Like, why are you crying kind of thing? And I text my friend. I said, she acts like me. Because that's how I feel around tears. I just become really analytical and logical. And so, like, she just started to say, like, just because you got removed from Matt doesn't mean that you won't ever. Like, she got real logical mm-hmm. with the girl. Like, why are you being so emotional? Yeah. And so, I don't know. I just related. That's probably why I have a lot of grace for Monica. Is that I just related to that, like, we don't have time to be
what
crying.
What are we doing?
Like, if you if you do better flips, we won't have a problem.
I actually, in that moment, I was like, that's a coach, though. Like, that's what you have to do. Like, what are we doing here? Like, just go do your job and we have to talk about this. My last question for you. Eden, Autumn, Sage, you gonna let them do cheerleader? You gonna let them do cheerleading? And August too. Like, let's not leave out the boys.
I'm a little old school, and I don't like that they just have them kind of got their little butts in their stomachs out. That I'm not saying anybody that has their children in cheer are like promoting immodesty. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that it just makes me uncomfortable. And so maybe if their belly button was covered up, I would be more. But I do want to put that tumbling thing that was teaching all the kids at the other TVC or something like that. They're in Atlanta.
Oh.
And I looked into them for Autumn.
Okay.
Because Autumn is our athletic child, and I think she could thrive in that atmosphere.
There you go.
So we'll see.
Season 3, Jackie Hill Perry joining the cheer gym.
Toddler cheer.
That's what we need.
Oh, man.
I guess. Jackie, thanks for talking about cheer.
This is fun.
It was fun.
We got to do Big Brother next year.
Let's do it. It comes out. It's every summer, right?
It's summer.
Yep. So is right now the celebrity one happening, or am I just behind?
Yeah. You watching it? It might be over. No.
Yeah, we didn't do it either.
I don't watch the celebrity one. It's not the same.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be back this summer watching Big Brother.
All right.
Jackie, have a good day. Okay, that was so much fun. I can't wait to do this again next month. And of course, Jackie's like, we got to do this summer over Big Brother. Because I used to watch the TV show Big Brother years and years and years ago. Jackie got me back on it last year. And so I was back on the Big Brother train again. And I don't know, maybe we should come in and have a little Big Brother recap with Jackie and Jamie every week. But I hope you've enjoyed this. Just a conversation between two girlfriends. Okay, as I promised you, here is the song Hope is Awake by Austin Stone Worship.
Cross that. to shake as heaven long for hope to wake. With holy breath, the King of Light tore through the darkness of the night. The stone revealed an empty grave, raised up to life the highest name, ascended to the Father's throne, our Jesus Christ.
I love that song. I hope that it's encouragement to you. Again, it's Hope is Awake by Austin Stone Worship, and you can get that song wherever you listen to music. Download it and let it be an encouragement to you, your family, and your friends as you prepare for this upcoming season of celebrating Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. Hope is Awake by Austin Stone Worship. Thank you so much for listening to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. We are truly grateful for every single story that we get to share with you, every encouragement we get to give you, and every opportunity we get to point all of us to Jesus. If you're loving this show, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, tell your friends. That is the number one way that people find out about our show. It's because you tell them. Join us right here every Wednesday and Friday for meaningful conversations that will make us think, they'll make us laugh, and they'll always point us back to Jesus. And come find me other places on the internet as well. I love Instagram. I'm over there at Jamie Ivey. And if you've never visited my YouTube page, you're going to want to go there. Have you ever listened to a show and wondered, I wonder what they look like? Well, go find us over there. It's jamieivey.com/YouTube. The Happy Hour is produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell. Graphics are by Amaya Savoy Easton. The show is edited by Angie Elkins. And I'm your host every week, Jamie Ivey. And goodness gracious, I love being here with you guys. Until next time, have a happy hour with a friend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.